When you hear about a war zone, you don't expect to hear about the miraculous hand of God. We'll talk about it.
What's next for Israel? War, fake peace, war, tribulation, salvation, being once again the head of all nations, and then the final judgment of God that will make an end to this heaven and this earth. And then there will be no more need for Israel. Israel is not going to be a nation to lead people to God. That's it. There will be no more nations even. God will make everything new.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with Amir Sarfati from Israel. America, with her current leadership, is no longer an ally of Israel. We have joined the multitude of nations that is marginalizing God's covenant land for multiple reasons, many of them political, and that has consequences. We'll talk about that and much more in this uninterrupted programming.
And I'm going to say something right now that may baffle you, may shock you, but on October 7th, we had a big miracle. Now, why is it? I tell you, from what we gather so far, what could have happened and the amount of weapon ammunition and everything that we found with them, it should have killed 5,000 people. And from what we also gathered, they forgot to coordinate it with Hezbollah and the other militias, or else all three would have come at the same time. And I'm not even sure I would be able to conduct this interview with you right now. So I'm choosing to look at the satanic attack and the godly intervention to stop it before Israel would be annihilated. Even in 9/11, I was in New York in 9/11, and the information that I had a day later proved to me that 9/11 was a miracle and not the judgment. Because what they planned and what they executed is two different things. And so when I look at tragedies, I'm asking myself, okay, what was originally planned and what exactly did happen? And that's how I judge it. And again, I give God the glory for stopping them what they stopped. And it could have been a massacre on biblical proportion. And I'm talking about today it's 1,400. It could have been 5 to 6 to 7 to 10,000 people if they really executed what they wanted.
And welcome to the program. And I'm so honored to have Amir Sarfati with me this hour from Israel. And many of you are following him daily and even hourly as I do on Telegram. And I have had a Mideast conflict education better than anything I have ever had from his Telegram postings. So you need to sign up for that. And I have said many times on this program and on numerous interviews that I've been on that our world changed back on October the 7th of last year. Demons were unleashed, I think, on the world, and that's evident by the many people participating in what I call Israel derangement syndrome demonstrations, heavily on campuses, but really we've seen it in major cities and capitals of almost every Western country. So where is all this going? And we have discussed end time wars on this program. And while the war between Israel and her Islamic neighbors may not be necessarily a prophesied war or wars, these conflicts are leading to those wars. I remain deeply troubled that America knew about the Iranian missile attack perhaps as early as 72 hours ahead of time. I do recall, this is back in April, I recall Mr. Biden casually retreating to Delaware that Friday, knowing just a few hours later, Israel, our number one ally in the Middle East and perhaps the world, would be besieged with almost 350 missiles and drones. And now, as I speak, that administration is threatening to withhold weapons from Israel as she is in her terrible, terrible war with Hamas. And it seems like many in the current administration are cheering for Hamas. Folks, did you ever think you would see such lunacy and such delusion? And again, I am grieved by this shameful foreign policy, which is basically appeasement. I am troubled that those in power in America today are, again, they're cheering on Iran, and they are marginalizing our greatest ally, Israel, and that has consequences. So while we are doing this, as you are aware, record-setting floods and tornadoes and other disasters are ravishing communities across America, as perhaps God is demonstrating his fury on our once great nation. Now, in addition to these comments, I just want to add that we are carrying Amir's new book. It's called Discovering Daniel, and we're going to talk about that in this hour as well. So Amir Sarfati, welcome back to Understanding the Times.
Thank you, Jan. It's a lovely evening here in Galilee.
So good to hear from you. Washington is trying to dictate your foreign policy, and she does not do that for other nations. Tell me your thoughts on that, Amir.
I think that the Biden administration is sending a clear message to Russia, China, and North Korea and Iran that it will not defend at all costs the allies of America, or at least those that remain allies. And it will actually allow those countries to defeat the allies of America. Mm-hmm. And it is encouraging, by doing so, the axis of evil, yes, and terrorism to attack anywhere around the world.
You and I knew that America would have to back off of her support of Israel based on the Bible, because Israel is alone in Ezekiel 38:39, Gog and Magog. So in a sense, this shouldn't surprise us greatly.
No, it's not. I think that we're watching with our very eyes the signing of the divorce papers, yeah, between the countries. It's funny because I'm saying that, and we're in the month of May, and you guys will have elections in November, and so much can happen from now until then. And even if the Republicans will win, it'll still take a couple more months until they will enter into office in January of 25. And so much can happen that might even bring a worse situation between the countries. And yes, I've been teaching for over 25 years the fact that when the war of Ezekiel will come, no one besides God, of course, is going to stand by Israel and extend physically help to this nation. Now, of course, there will be protests, Sheba and Dedan and all of that. They will protest this attack on Israel, but no one is going to help us physically. And thankfully, God is not going to stand and allow us to be annihilated. He will take control and defeat our enemies.
America did intervene, as well as the UK, as well as France, as well, for that matter, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, when 350 missiles, drones, and more were fired at you a month ago. And again, the incredible hand of God, because they did no damage. But did you ever expect, Amir, to be under a rocket assault like that from Iran? Those of us in the West were without words watching that night what was happening.
And remember, only 10% of these rockets were actually downed by the U.S. and the allies. But the thing is, it seems like the Biden administration anticipated some sort of attack. But when they heard that it is that many, this was the largest combined airstrike in the history of warfare. And when they realized, we're not talking about two or three or five, we're talking about nearly 350. This is when Biden rushed to the Situation Room, and this is when everything changed. It's the same thing now. I mean, they might be able to allow us to suffer losses when it comes to 20, 40, 50, 100 people. But when October 7th took place and 1,400 civilians and other soldiers were all massacred that day, what do they exactly expect us to do? We are a country that will not sit and watch its citizens being slaughtered that way. Those days when Jews were slaughtered and were defenseless and were not able to fight back, those days are over. Thankfully, the God of Israel is still there to watch and never slumber and to be there and fight for us. And God says in Malachi, he says, I am God and I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. This is it.
Well, Israel keeps God busy. That's why he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Give me your thoughts on the hostages. Now, there are American hostages, and of course, I don't think anybody knows who might be left or not. But give me your thoughts, because Obviously, Hamas is using hostages as shields. For instance, the Bibas family and those two little babies. What are your thoughts?
Hamas had a chance to free the Bibas family when it freed babies and toddlers and moms, but they didn't. And I have some very, very bad news. The bad news is that from what I gather, most of the hostages are not alive. Hmm. And Hamas even then threw some hints that the Bibas family is not alive. Only the father was. Who knows if he has not been killed even since. Because they did shoot a video of him angry at our government. Of course, they dictated what he needs to say. But he was angry at our government that we actually caused the death of his wife and children. So Hamas can also claim that Israel is responsible. But let me make it very clear from footage that we have and that emerged recently from October 7th from the streets of Gaza. We know that there were dozens of hostages that were actually tortured to death on October 7th as they dragged them with their feet tied to a pickup truck and they dragged them along the streets of Gaza. And look, those people that they had, that they could show the world that they're good people, they already released them. And the very few that are left are the young, the strong, and mostly members of the military. And the leaders of Hamas, they are surrounding themselves with them. And we know that because there is intelligence that gave us that indication that this is it. That's the case. And there are very few left alive, and they are now being used as a human shield and as an insurance policy for Hamas leaders that they will stay alive. So the notion that Hamas is interested in releasing hostages is a fake and false one to begin with. Hamas is not interested in any agreement to release hostages. Hamas is interested in agreement that will give them victory. That's what they want. In fact, the more tough the footage, it comes from Gaza and all what's going on in the Western world and all the demonstrations and the chaos in the universities, that the more the Biden administration feels committed to go all the way towards Hamas, and that makes Hamas getting tougher and tougher. So everything is, in a very weird way, serving the purposes of Hamas rather than of Israel.
If you just join me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell. I have on the line Amir Sarfati from Israel. I try to talk to Amir 2-3 times a year at least, and we do carry his newest book, Discovering Daniel. I'm going to get to that as we move into the hour. We carry a number of his books. Visit my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to the online store. There's several of his products there, as well as sister ministry products from Jack Hibbs, Barry Stagner, and others. Amir, you have three children in the IDF, and my listeners and others write me all the time, how are they doing? How are Amir and Miriam holding up? And give us a paragraph on that. Here you are, a family with most of your children invested in this terrible, terrible time of trouble.
I'm sure there's a lot of Israeli families that are in the same situation. Yeah. In my case, the two older kids are actually part of the war situation where my son is in Gaza and my daughter is in Northern Command. So they're busy in the war effort in those two fronts, while my third is in his basic training for the Air Force intelligence. So he's not yet taking part of any of the actual activity in this war, but he's being trained right now. So yeah, it's not easy. We have a lot of sleepless nights, and you can imagine anything that happens in those two areas. Not long ago, we actually learned from Hezbollah, by the way, that they just launched a suicide drone towards a specific military base where my daughter was. And of course, we know that there's always nonstop attacks in Gaza on the corridor that Israel is now holding between the northern part and the southern part where my son is. So it's not just general information, it's specific information that we hear that is very troublesome for parents that have children there. But at the same time, this is where we need to exercise our faith and to trust the Lord that he will protect our kids and he will give them peace and safety and give us peace of mind. To be honest, me being fully engaged in the construction of our media center here, Connect, was a great thing for me because my mind was always on this place. It took me away from worrying too much about the kids.
Well, I want to say more about that a little bit later. Learn more at beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org. Sign up for his weekly e-newsletter. Again, sign up to be on his Telegram channel. He's got more than 500,000 on the Telegram channel, which is where I keep apprised, better than cable news, anything else I'm watching, folks, videos and more. Amir, this is all a part of the Zechariah 12 process of Israel standing alone. And I've heard Benjamin Netanyahu say many, many times, we will fight alone, we will stand alone, we will go it alone. Breaks my heart when he says that, because he's always had some U.S. president behind him, some far less so than others, some very friendly, some somewhat hostile. But Amir, anybody more hostile than this current U.S. president, Joe Biden? Do you think so? I don't think so.
I don't think so. This is Obama on steroids.
Yeah.
And Jake Sullivan is Obama's eyes and ears.
Yes.
This administration is the one that is implementing Obama's policy. But it's crazy because all the other secretaries, whether it's the Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, they're puppets. And it's very sad to see that all they care about is flooding Gaza with food. They don't care about what the hostages are eating, if at all. And just to make it very clear, Gaza is getting more food than any Palestinian refugee camp in Jordan, Syria, Iraq, or Lebanon. Just to make it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
They're so picky right now that when they get the candies from America, they say, well, the candies are, their expiration date is March and we're in April, so they're angry. Stuff like that happens. Mm. And you see that this is the most privileged and the most ungrateful people group on planet Earth, where there is real hunger in Sudan and
yes.
real hunger
yes.
in Yemen and other
mm-hmm.
places.
Yeah.
And nobody cares. Nobody's talking
That's right.
about it. There's unbelievable persecution against Christians in Sudan, in Nigeria and other places. Nobody says a word about
That's
it.
Right.
But when it comes to Gaza, every tiny little thing is being amplified and magnified. And you can clearly see that it's not the love of the Palestinians as much as the hate
That's right.
of the Jews.
Tell us a little bit more about what could have happened October 7th and why a catastrophe, God prevailed, let's put it that way.
It's not a secret that Israel was very divided the eve of
yeah.
October 7th. It was a mass psychosis. I refer to that as well. Mass formation psychosis
yeah.
that the liberal progressive left caused through the media to the people of Israel to hate each other, to fight each other. And everything was to defend a judicial system that is rot, that is corrupt, and that is not even powerful to protect us right now, as you can clearly see. The International Criminal Court and
yes.
international, these courts should have never, ever dealt with any of the cases because we were promised that we have very vibrant, very good judicial system that will protect us from such things. And now we see that it's not even doing that. Israel was in a very weak position. So that's a given. We cannot deny that one. We also know that the deep state was very much engaged into efforts to throw Netanyahu out, and their focus was less on our enemies from outside and more on what they perceived as an enemy from the inside. So Israel was definitely weak. However, we know, and I talked about that April of that same year of 2023, I already exposed the fact that there was a plot that was crafted by the Iranians for a mass invasion into Israel from all directions,
right.
from the north and northeast, from the east, from the south, and from the southwest, from Gaza. All of that while Arabs from within the country and from the West Bank will also do the same. That was planned for Passover of 2023. It was probably something that the Palestinian Hamas realized it's not ready yet, and they push forward on Sukkot of 2023 in October. Now, you can imagine if we suffer that many losses from just one relatively small terrorist organization, very well equipped, very deep entrenched, yes, but at the same time, Hezbollah is much bigger and
yes.
much more
mm-hmm.
powerful. If we would have been attacked simultaneously as Iran originally planned, I'm not even sure we would have had this conversation mm-hmm. right now. Thankfully, due to the lack of discipline of Hamas to wait for that hour to do it together with others, thanks to that, we got hit, but we rose again and we hit back. And now Hamas is almost annihilated. And one very important and costly asset of the Iranians will be gone. Next is Hezbollah. We're going to take care of that one as well. And that's going to be another asset of Iran that will be taken out. The Iranians, they're not happy. They wish everything worked differently according to their original plan. The other aspect is that we found in those terrorist bags maps and plans to take over some very key military installations and military bases. Some of them are Air Force bases. Some of them are intelligence bases. Also an invasion into big cities in Israel and also all the way towards Jerusalem. One of the things that stopped them is the fact that they took too long in that music festival.
Sure.
And they did not see the Israeli police response. They did not take that in consideration. So they plotted something big.
Yeah.
They came ready for something big, but they actually used the only bullet they had too early. And that's why the Iranians were very angry with them.
As you say, one of your messages, actually, the worst is yet to come. Now, eventually, we're talking about in the tribulation time of Jacob's trouble, where a third will come through the fires, yet two-thirds during that time will be cut off. Let me just play a clip, Amir. This is a view, and it's such a good teaching.
The Bible says in the book of Zechariah that the worst is yet to come. Look, I'm here. I'm surrounded by Israelis. I am in the midst of the capital of Israel. You hear the bells of the churches. You may have heard the muezzin of the mosques. You may even hear some Jewish people around praying, but you will see and understand that what the Bible is often telling us is not always what we want to hear, but it's always what is going to happen. Unfortunately, I say that the worst is yet to come. In Zechariah, we hear, "It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, the two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it, and I will bring the one-third through the fire and refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested, and they will call on my name and I will answer them, and I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is God." Now, nobody wants to hear such words about his nation. Nobody wants to hear such word about the future for his country. But the Bible is not trying to make anything look good when it's not. So let's summarize what we've had so far. The Bible speaks of the fact that the Lord will first heal the land, then bring the people that make them prosperous in the land. And then at some point, there will be a rising angry coalition led by Russia, Turkey, and Iran, and they will wage a war in Israel, especially a war that is regarding what we call resources, natural resources, or whatever we have that they want to take. These are not countries that have borders with Israel. That's not Egypt or Jordan. That's not Lebanon or Syria. These are countries that do not have borders with Israel. They come not for the sake of land, but for the sake of taking and stealing and plundering. And the Bible says that it's the moderate countries of the Saudi Peninsula, as well as Europe and America, that will criticize them for doing that. And God will intervene, and that war will be won on the mountains of Israel with great hailstones and earthquakes and rain and floods. And God will have his name, of course, worshiped that day in the midst of all nations. But that's the war that is coming next. And after that comes a fake peace that the Bible says a rising world leader will introduce, a peace that's supposed to last for 7 years, the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. That peace will be broken halfway through, and there will be a great persecution. And as we just read in Zechariah 13, two-thirds of Israel will perish and die.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell have on the line from Israel, Amir Sarfati. We're carrying his newest book and workbook, Discovering Daniel. I'm going to talk about it before the hour ends here. Amir, you and I and others are criticized for holding to this theology. How can you say two-thirds of the Jews will be cut off and die, because the Bible says it, and it's a part of Daniel's 70th week. That's why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Notice, folks, it's not called the time of the church's trouble, but Jacob's trouble, to bring them to faith, as well as many unbelieving people. But a third come through the fire, as you say, and a third actually are going to call on the name of Jesus as they see him returning in the second coming. So talk to us about this wonderful news.
This is one of the reasons I wrote Discovering Daniel, because Daniel is giving us not only prophetic image of his time, but also prophetic image of our time. And when we come to the very end of the book of Daniel, we can clearly see that we're going to be in a time period that the Bible describes in chapter 12 as there will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. Mm. In other words, even the Holocaust, even October 7th, nothing can be compared to what is going to happen. But at that time, your people, that's Gabriel telling Daniel about Michael, the great prince who protects your people, the archangel that is attached to protecting Israel. And he's saying, but at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. So everyone whose name is found written in the book, which explains Zechariah 13, that is speaking of the one third that will be purified while the other two thirds will perish. The most important thing is, of course, is your name written in the book, not in books, but in the book of life of the Lamb. No one wants to hear such a thing about his nation as we just heard. Yes. No one wants to hear the bad news that believers are going to be saved and non-believers are going to perish. That's the Bible. This is why we plead with people to reconcile with God. This is why we are encouraging people to accept the Lord and to follow him and to believe in him, because it's a matter of life and death. It's not anything less than that. And Israel is not exempt from it. As much as I believe that God has a special plan for the nation of Israel, there is no one that can change it. I also hold the opinion, based on Scripture, that unless one is born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom. Mm-hmm. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, and this is what we need to tell the Jewish people even today. Unless you believe, unless you're born again, unless you're spirit-filled, you won't be entering into the kingdom. So yes, we will see that. And unfortunately, I don't have a hard time seeing that happening in light of the psychosis that was engulfing Israel in the last few years. It's very sad. I think if the Antichrist was in power today, two-thirds of Tel Aviv would be following him already.
Oh my goodness. That's quite a statement, Amir. Just a quick announcement, folks, because we do have an Understanding the Times one-night meeting coming up Thursday, June 6th with Dr. Mark Hitchcock. We live stream this to the world, and you can come and be a part of the in-person attendance at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburb of Minneapolis. And that is, again, Thursday evening, June 6th, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, live stream, Central Time, MarkHenryMinistries.com. MarkHenryMinistries.com, we post program all over and get a DVD of it. We're in our third year now, and we're airing online to well over 30 countries. Join us again Thursday evening, June 6th, no cost, no registration for in-person or online, 7 p.m. Central Time. Either in person, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburb of Minneapolis, or live stream at no cost, MarkHenryMinistries.com. We love meeting all of you. We have Michelle Bachman coming up on Thursday, August the 1st, and we have something planned for October. We'll say more about that as well. But once you get it on the calendar so that you can come out and meet these wonderful people in person, plus the entire team that puts on the presentations, Mark Henry, yours truly, and many more. And also the Pastor's Huddle. You've heard me talk about it on this program, June 4th, 5th, 6th, which is a part of our Understanding the Time activity. Information, olivetreeviews.org, and then to the Pastor's Huddle. And we've got a ton of pastors signed up here for June 4th, 5th, 6th, and hope you will look into it and join us in Minneapolis. So pleased to have on the line from Israel, Amir Sarfati. Again, learn more at beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org. Amir, I want to play one more clip of you because you're transitioning here, and you already have, but this will further transition into our discussion on the book of Daniel, which I love as well, by the way, and particularly the part that is prophetic, though the whole book is fascinating, and your whole book is fascinating. Again, we have it in our store. It's called Discovering Daniel, and we have a workbook that goes with it, all produced by Harvest House, the wonderful people at Harvest House.
70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. In other words, Daniel says, look, from the moment the decree to go and rebuild Jerusalem is given, I want you to start counting. I'm going to give you exact number of days and weeks and months and years until Messiah goes into Jerusalem and he will be killed, not for anything that he did. And then he said, after that, there's another week separated, different. Then that week is also about Israel, and it's also about Jerusalem, and it's also about eventually the return of the Messiah. But that week will start a very bad period for the nation of Israel, those at least that rejected the Messiah. Look what he says. Jeremiah chapter 30 says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Think about it for a second. Israel will go through a horrible situation. It's called Jacob's trouble. It's a trouble for Israel. Yes, the whole world will suffer, but Israel eventually will be saved out of it. That's what he says. He's not the only one that says that. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, at the time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. He says there's an angel that is appointed for the sons of Israel, for the nation of Israel, and there shall be a time of trouble. Again, the same word, tribulation, trouble, Jacob's trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Now, make no mistake, Daniel is a boy that was taken out of Jerusalem when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Assyrians and Babylonians, if you remember. Babylon was there and the city was just leveled to the ground. Daniel saw a horrible chapter in the history of Israel, and yet he says it's nothing compares to what the future is going to bring. Then he says, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. What does it mean? It means that if throughout the tribulation they will repent and their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they, of course, are going to be delivered. And it's interesting because it's the same Daniel who in chapter 9 says, remember that last week? Remember that world leader that is going to emerge and confirm a covenant? Remember that only halfway through that week is going to break it? Remember the Apostle Paul who wrote to the Thessalonians in his second epistle when he described the end time, when he described the timing of the rapture of the church? He said, don't you remember that I told you there's going to be a world leader? And that world leader will enter into the temple of God and declare himself as God. And that means that Israel is about to enjoy a fake messianic era that will enable them to build a temple, resume sacrifices, think that, hey, there is peace, there is prosperity, messianic times. And of course,
That world leader that will confirm that covenant will be hailed as Messiah. Just to find out 3.5 years later, not only that he was a fake Messiah, the Antichrist, but he's actually the greatest enemy of Israel.
So, Amir, this is the ultimate betrayal. This is the ultimate bait and switch that's going to happen in the tribulation from which believers are absent.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm not that surprised when I see betrayal of world leaders when it comes to Israel, because I know there's going to be a big one, the biggest one, and it's around the corner. So, yeah, you're right. It's a bait and switch. It's I'm here for you. I will give you peace. I will give you prosperity. I will give you even a temple that you can worship there. But at some point, I'm going to ask you and demand you to worship me as your God. Satan will never, ever give you free gifts. If you want free gift, go to God. Free gift of salvation is from God. But when Satan is giving you something, you better believe that he's going to come and collect his payment. And Israel's fake peace will then turn into their most horrific time since that nation was created.
I know. Your book, you've dedicated it to those killed October 7th and to the hostages. And you write this. This is in the book. Again, it's the new book, Discovering Daniel. You say, I acknowledge the sorrow and pain of my nation as we seek to heal from this 21st century Holocaust. We will fight, we will heal, and with the help of the one true God, we will emerge stronger than ever before. Hamas believed it could win this fight, but as we can clearly see in the book of Daniel, God has a different plan. And that was very touching that you did that, Amir, because all of us are grieving for the many who have lost so many in the conflict, not the least of which, and we've already talked about them, the terrible, deplorable conditions, considering these hostages who, if they're alive, some have been in captivity 7 months, a brutal captivity.
7 months of being starved, 7 months of being tortured. Yes, this is terrible. And I know that some parents of those hostages, they hope that the person, if he died early.
Yeah.
Because these are monsters.
They're monsters.
And make no mistake, almost 99% of the videos that emerged from that day shows that even what people think the innocent civilians there, they were all cheering up. They were all taking part of the brutal attacks. And for me, the notion that there is Hamas, which are the bad guys, and the Palestinians, which are the good guys, I think it's detached from reality.
I agree. Daniel 10 refers to the Prince of Persia. And I want to ask you, this isn't really off topic because we're talking Middle East and we're talking the book of Daniel, but the Prince of Persia, which is a demonic power likely over Iran, suspect he's still there. Do you feel a demonic power like this can affect foreign policy, such as in Iran, and how that nation might still be behaving here in the 21st century?
I have friends that are Iranians. Obviously, they're against this regime.
Yeah.
And there is one word that they often use to describe the Ayatollahs is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Daniel, whenever he had a prophecy, there was always the immediate fulfillment and the long fulfillment in the far future. And in both cases, it was demonic and it will be demonic. Demonic is maybe even a soft way to describe what the regime of the Ayatollahs is today.
Yes.
They are executing people left and right. Nobody's talking about that. I have tons of testimonials and videos. Mm. Sometimes I put it on Telegram, sometimes I don't. I just want you to understand that these are diabolic, satanic, demonic figures. When all you have in your mind is not the best of your people, but the worst of others, that's demonic. This is exactly what Golda Meir said even about the Palestinians at that time. She said, look, peace will come to the Middle East when Palestinian mothers will love their children more than they hate the Jews.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Folks, if you just join me, I have on the line Amir Sarfati from Northern Israel. Many of you follow him. BeholdIsrael.org, BeholdIsrael.org. He does have a new book and workbook on Daniel, Discovering Daniel, Finding Our Hope in God's Prophetic Plan Amid Global Chaos. You think we have some global chaos going on? Indeed, we do. We've actually been talking about it here for almost 45 minutes because much of it is centered in the Middle East. Let me ask you this, Amir, because you write, and I'm talking here about your book, but in many places, you even make reference to it on Telegram, which is where I keep up with you almost hourly, but you write about the times of the Gentiles. I think you need to give a clear definition of what that means, because they're coming to an end. And when they come to an end, there's going to be a huge transition. It will then be the times of the Jews. But help us understand in a paragraph or two these times of the Gentiles.
From the moment Israel was led out of Jerusalem to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar assumed control over our destiny and our future at the time, literally, the times of the Gentiles have thus begun. And this is exactly why the book of Daniel is so important, because it covers the entire, both past and future, time periods of the times of the Gentiles, where Gentiles were basically, even though Israel is coming back to its land, Gentiles are still running the show in this world, and they're still somehow dictating to Israel what to do and what not to do. And we're witnessing that right now. We're being threatened not to invade into Rafah, or else armament will not be sent to us. So we can clearly see that there is a world dominance elsewhere, but not in Israel. We know that when Christ is coming back with us, he will not put his throne anywhere else but in Jerusalem. Israel will once again become the leader of all nations. The law will come out of Jerusalem. People will fly into Jerusalem to celebrate a Feast of Tabernacles every year. And any nation that will not do that, blessing will not come upon them, as Zechariah 14 describes. Everything is going to change. Everything will be completely recovered from, we're going back to what it used to be. And then it was lost due to the disobedience of Israel for that long. And so, yes, the times of the Gentiles are about to come to an end. And the Bible says in Romans 11, and then all Israel will be saved. Mm-hmm. So there is a correlation between the end of the times of the Gentiles and the national salvation of Israel. And that's, of course, those who survived the tribulation, those that have not perished, as Zechariah 13 talked about. So, yes, it's going to come, and Daniel is giving us great details on it. But the most important thing is the fact that there is a beginning, end, and end to the period where God will allow the Gentiles. And by the way, it doesn't talk about Gentile believers here. It talks about pagan. It talks about the Gentile. It's just like in the Bible, it says, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't do like the Gentiles. It's about the non-believing people. We're going to have righteousness restored, and we're going to have the Lord reigning from Jerusalem. And the Israel that will be with the Lord then, it'll be that third that has already accepted him.
This is a question from our social media, Amir, and it's such an excellent question. I actually have a couple dozen. We're going to limit it to one here, I think. But they ask, how do you biblically pray for and forgive your enemies when faced with constant horror, violence, hatred, and the things you've just talked about this hour, again, with the hostages and more? I think the audience, and I know you do forgive your enemies, but I think you need to talk to my audience about that, because, look, they're facing giants of their own.
There is no doubt that there is a lot of anger and there's a lot of rage when it comes to seeing what happened to us. And no one wants uninvolved, innocent person to die anywhere. No one wants that. Now, I always say that when you have an enemy like Hamas is, and like many people around the world, I do not see any other way but to wish for them either to accept the Lord or to disappear. I do not want them to stay and do what they do. I want them to either fall on their knees and accept the Lord and thus change their way, because I don't believe an anti-Semite is a true born-again believer. There is no way the spirit of the God of Israel is in him. So if you are a repenting person and you are changing your way, I would love to dance with you in heaven. But if you choose, and it's a choice, if you choose to want to dedicate your entire life to the annihilation of the Jewish people and you refuse to submit yourself to the God of Israel and to the only way you can ever reach God, which is through the Messiah's atoning death. It's not an easy thing to say, but honestly, either die or repent. Think about people who chopped the heads of so many people and shot elderly people and kidnapped them and tortured them and all of that. Unless they are repenting, I think they deserve death. And I think that they deserve death because that's what the right thing. I think that the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that governments, they have the duty to exercise judgment. And they were given the sword to exercise judgment. And the sword is not something that is lightly written about in the Bible. And so I believe that you cannot run away from the consequences of what you did to the people of God. Now, again, if you repented, I'll see you in heaven. But as long as we're here, I pray that every one of them is going to meet the destiny he chose. Now, if you come up against the people of God, don't expect the wrath and the judgment of God not to fall upon you. It's just very simple. I pray that they will get saved or get taken away.
I want to wind down this hour on a hopeful note. I'm just going to play a short clip of you, and it's talking about, oh dear, Amir, many of us are excited for the home that awaits us, and you're going to help us get even more excited.
When we return with him, the Jews will blow the trumpet on the Feast of Trumpet, and the whole world will see him returning with us. But when we go up, nobody will see us. We'll be gone like that. All the excitement is not going to be here. Nobody will be excited that, oh, wow, look, there's a rapture. No. They'll probably say, God ridden. I mean, that's it. They're out of here. Finally, let's party. Guys, guess who is excited? No. Of course we are, because it's us. But who is excited for our rapture? Heaven is expecting us. There is going to be a celebration in heaven. Heaven is preparing for the coming of the sons and the daughters. It's amazing. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. When will that happen? To wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us, talk to me, from the wrath to come. Not through the wrath, but from the wrath to come.
Amir, we have talked this hour about a lot of things, but we've talked about betrayal, we've talked about war, we've talked about suffering, we've even talked about torture. And yet, ultimately, the believer has a glorious, glorious future in eternity with the Lord. But the way we're going to get there, either death or the rapture, and you and I believe that the countdown clock for all of that is the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Not everybody shares our theology. That's sad, but many don't. But those that do, they're looking forward to this time of being whisked away out of here. And I want you to wind down our discussion and take your time. But as we look forward to this, the way we can determine how much time we have left is to watch the signs all around us, and they're exploding. And I know you would agree.
Of course I agree. Of course no one knows the day and the hour, and of course we're not coming up with dates or anything, but we know one thing. The Antichrist cannot rise before we're out of here. That we know from 2 Thessalonians yeah. chapter 2. And therefore, if we see all the signs that are leading to his rise, and all the global development when it comes to both natural disasters and government and chaos and everything that is going on around the world, we see complete strong delusion now all around the world. People call evil good and
That's
good
right.
evil. And it's not just about sexual identity and family values. It's about things that you can clearly see. That thing is the right thing and the other thing is the wrong thing, and yet people switch and call the bad things. When somebody tells me that a people group that are called Arabs, which obviously are from Arabia, are indigenous to the place that was called Judea, which is why we are called Jews,
right.
This has to be strong delusion. You see people chanting things. They have no clue what they're talking about. They don't know what the sea is. They don't know what the river is. They don't have a clue about the future. They don't have a clue about the past, but they are chanting things because they've been brainwashed.
That's right.
So the strong delusion, everything we see when it comes to global affairs, everything we see when it comes to weather conditions, and of course, we see the spirit of the Antichrist already. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We can clearly see that. But again, he cannot show up before the great exchange, I call it. We go up, he comes down. We go up, he shows up. And for us, that's an indication when we see everything around us that the gathering of the saints to be with the Lord is truly around the corner. And we must hold on to that promise. And we must be with a lot of perseverance and patience and endurance because the days are evil. And we need to be very careful and stick to the word of God and avoid, of course, sensationalism and stick to the promises of God in his word. Look, we don't need more sensationalism than we already have in the Bible. The Bible is sensational enough. And there are so many amazing things that are happening, amazing things that are going to happen. Who would imagine that you and I would live to see what we see today? So I have no doubt that the rapture can definitely happen in my lifetime. Yes. And when it comes to that, I guess I'm not different than the Apostle Paul, who was having the same expectation in his lifetime, only he did not get to see what we get to see.
Another question, and I am then out of time, but this is important, Amir. Again, learn more at beholdisrael.org. And again, find the book and workbook, Discovering Daniel, in my online store. Give my office a call. In our print magazine, which will be out in the summer again. Is there any kind of spiritual awakening going on in the Israeli people because of the crisis of the last 6 and 7 months?
Look, it's not like they're all running believing in Jesus.
Right.
But we do see absolutely more and more and more Israelis deciding that the life of materialism, secularism, and hedonism is not the right way. Mm-hmm. And there is a mass exodus from those lifestyles towards belief that there is a God,
yes,
that we must hold on to him. Now, in order to believe in the Son of God, you first need to believe that there is a God. So I sure can see that these things happen. And my daughter has some friends in the military that they claim that some of their acquaintances did accept Yeshua as Lord because of what's going on. So we are hearing of sporadic cases of salvation, but what we can see for sure when it comes to mass exodus of Jewish people from secularism, and everybody can see that in order to keep our national identity, we cannot decline the invitation of God to believe that he exists and to believe that he's the one who brought us over here. Because a lot of Israelis are now asking themselves, why is it that everybody doubts our right over the land? And let's face it, the only way you can justify our existence here is the promises of God and the fact that our identity goes back to our very existence here in biblical times. Mm-hmm. And so you cannot, on one hand, be a Zionist and believe that Zion is the place of the Jews, and then reject the place where the word Zion exists.
That's right.
So people are asking it, and the people understand that I may have gone too far in my life of self-indulgence and life of hedonism, secularism, and materialism. I need to find God, and we see that. So it's halfway, and it's an important step.
Absolutely. Pray about these things, folks, about so many things that Amir has talked about this hour, which I think he has shared some stunning information this hour. Amir, 30 seconds on Connect. Tell us where you're at, and then I'm out of time.
I'm very excited. In just a few days, we're going to launch our Galilee Hub here, where we're going to do two major things, broadcast to the world and teach in person both people from outside of Israel that will come and Israelis. So we have physical space for teaching, and we have a beautiful studio for broadcasts. And in this time, Israel needs any voice possible to share the plan of God for Israel, the future of Israel according to the Word of God, and of course, to teach the Word of God from Israel. So I'm excited. God has put on my heart this project already in the middle of last year.
Yeah.
Little did I know that we're going to find ourselves in the middle of probably the most existential war since 1948.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that. It's one of the few things that brings smile to my face.
Well, let me go out of the program, folks. You know I use this now and then, and I think it's appropriate this hour. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down. The lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm. The stone was rolled away, and the clouds were parted. The Lord ascended, and when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, and He's never late. He's always right on time, and His plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we will talk to you again next week.
Jesus Redeemer, mighty.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We've talked about betrayal this hour. We encourage you to get acquainted with the Creator of the universe, who will never betray you or me. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He has allowed us to be a part of a final generation watching all things fall into place.